You may please be seated. Let me know how ready you are for the word of God today by your shout of glory. Once again, some people here, they're like, this church like to shout. This church, too much shout. You, in the name of Jesus, shout glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. As a ministry, we have a mandate from the Lord. But before I say the mandate, can you tell your neighbor, we are not here to play? Tell somebody else, we are not here to play. This is serious business. God's business. Some of you are not talking. Tell your neighbor, we are not here to play. This is serious business. God's business. So we have a mandate from God to raise disciples. To raise disciples. Okay, so everybody say after me, we envision a generation with the passion. So we are not talking. So after me, we envision a generation with the passion for the glory of Christ, representing the whole counsel of God. And we are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ. I'm not hearing some voices at all. We are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. For in Christ, we are God's new breed. Glory! Why am I saying this? I'm saying it because at the very core of what God has asked us to do is to raise him disciples. So, peradventure, there was no screen. Peradventure, there was no camera. Peradventure, there was no microphone. Peradventure, there was no air conditioner. Peradventure, we are just gathered under a tree outside. God forbid. But that would be nice, depending on how we make it happen. Are you with me? But imagine that was the setting. Imagine there was no microphone and all we had was Pastor David. Imagine there was no keyboard, no drum, and all you had was Pastor David preaching and the people here. At the very core is this. We are sent to raise disciples. Are you with me? If you take everything that looks material or physical, all you will be left with is a people that have been commissioned by God to raise disciples. Are you with me? And let me tell you something. This is the core of what we are doing here. Are you with me? This is the core. Praise God. This is the core. Tell anybody this is the core. You know, I remember many years ago, as a young student in the university, something used to happen. So, when we finish our chapel service, I and my classmates will start talking. They'll be asking me some questions. And the pastor said, I didn't really understand it. Can you break it down? So, because they knew that I was a fervent believer. Can you break it down? And I'll begin to teach them. And so, I'll start talking to two people. After that, somebody will pass and say, I like what you were talking about. To three. And after a while, we have seven. After a while, we are 15. And then we say, we have lecture. We will go. And that kept on happening. By the time I was in final year, do you know what used to happen? I would go to a lecture building. And now that I'm going to be teaching, and we'll have almost 200 students gathered just to hear teaching. And when we are done, by the time I get to my room, I will see like 15 boys from different hostels waiting because the girls do not stay in the male hostels. I'll see them waiting. So Pastor, we will continue. And I will enter all night till morning like that. And while that's happening, intermittently, I'll bring my keyboard to worship. And when we worship, somebody say, I came with this boil. The boil has disappeared. I was like this. I came with this. I had heart palpitation. And that kept on happening. And why am I saying this? I'm saying it that so you get that the point of why we are gathered here is not just for the... I know we are young, but we are not here to play. Are you getting me? Are you with me? We're not here to play. Look at the testimonies. I know some people, they are not used to celebrating God. They don't know how to shout glory. Somebody has been house hunting for so long, and it has been so difficult. She came for a service, and faith entered. Are you with me? Then met pastor after the service to be easy, and in 1 week it has been done. Can you just say thank you, Jesus? Is it the one that money for her business? Now, you may say, it was her father that sent her the money. He would have done it. It's not like that, though. I have come to discover that when miracles are happening, for the fact that it happened easily does not mean it will happen naturally. Let me say that again. The fact it happened easily does not mean it happens naturally. Are you with me? You know, a pastor met me one time and said, Pastor David, you need to tell me there's something you're not telling me. Say, there's a grace you have that you need to give us. I said, what do you mean? He said, we are young ministers. As you know, we young ministers, the major struggle we have is venue. I'm like, what do you mean? Because it has never been an issue for me. It has never been an issue. No matter what the rent is, no matter what it is, when you have things like people who have a property, own the property, call you. Not that you ask them, say you're looking for. They call you and say, Pastor David, we have a property. Where we use in Lagos that we have used for 5 years. We have not paid one kobo. In fact, the people have sold seed to us. They gave us the property and said, take. Are you with me? So he said, that thing I want you to give me. I said, you are my brother. What do you mean? We are friends. He said, David, you are wasting my time. He just knelt down, carried his hand and put on my head, on his head. He said, since you don't collect it. Days later, in this same Abuja, he just called me and said, I think I told you. I think I told you. I pray for you. Your eyes are open to receive. All that God has planned for you to receive, you receive. This last week again, another pastor, we are pregnant. Everyone trusting God for their miracle. Step into it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So are you ready? So I want to teach something that the conventional Christian or the conventional church goer may not take serious. But there comes a time in your walk with God where you have to tell yourself, I have to be serious. It's time for solid stuff. Are you with me? It's time for solid stuff. And so in the month of September, we began a new teaching series themed Sit, Walk, Stand. And we said sit refers to our position in Christ, stemming from the fact that we are seated with Christ. And we went further to explore who we are and what we have in Him. And then we started talking about how to translate revelation into manifestation in our lives. Amen. But today we begin the next phase of this teaching series, which we have titled Walk. Walk. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word goes unhindered. Every demonic force is cleared out of the way. In the name of Jesus. That reminds me, please, anything we teach, take it serious. See what she was saying. She started saying, instead of declaring, nobody's coming to help me, she started declaring, I have help. Help is coming. Can you say that to me? I have help. Help is coming for me. People are always ready to help me. Oh, yeah, say it. People are always ready to help me. Amen. So, we said sit refers to our position in Christ. Walk refers to our approach to life on the earth. And stand refers to our conflict with the world. Our conflict with darkness. Are you with me? And I showed us that even in the Old Testament, there is a prophetic picture of our sitting our walking and our standing. The Bible says in Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That means the blessed man, the portrait of the blessed man according to Psalm 1, verse 1, is the man that understands how to sit, how to walk, and how to stand in Christ. Are you with me? Are you with me? So what do we mean by walk? We mean that there is a disposition of those who are seated in Christ. Glory.
In him how?
Faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Glory. So you have to be taught. Are you with me? You have to be rooted, you have to be built up, and you have to be established in the faith, and you have to be taught. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Colossians 3, verse 1. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 10. Today is Bible study service. I'm sure you can feel it already. It's Bible study service. Remember when we started? When Newbury started church, we were in a very small classroom. And I used to teach. I would open the scriptures and I'm teaching. Breaking down the scriptures. Then one lady met me after the service and said, Pastor, I have a problem with this church. I said, what's the problem? She said, the Bible in this church is too much. I said, what did you call it? A church. That means there should be...
I said, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I said, there is no need for his...
There is no building. There is no need for paint. Some years later, she came and was like, ah, what is happening? Because she left, actually, she left the church. By the time she came and saw the crowd, saw everything, she knew that obviously plenty money has poured in. Are you with me? Let me tell you something here. If you want to really go find your work with God, take priority what God takes priority. Are you with me? Take priority what God takes priority. Okay. Colossians 3 verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. It says in verse 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Glory. Now, see verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So it is true you are seated with Christ. But now, even though you are on the earth, you are seated with Christ in heaven, you have to seek the heavenly things. Praise the Lord. So there is a life on earth that should point to your position in heaven. Certainly, there is a life on earth. My life on earth must point to my position in heaven. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Everybody read with me from verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Glory! Now, the next verse I want to read, read it and make sure you shout a loud glory. Verse 4.
You know, I will tell somebody, tell me, what does this mean? What does try? Okay, somebody wants to try. I want to see the face. Yeah, come. Please give me a mic. Just try. What does this verse mean? Colossians 3 verse 4.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. When Christ, who is our life?
Mm-hmm. He is what the Bible is trying to explain to us. That when he is, which
is our master, appear in his life, we also, what we learn from him, which is our our identification in Christ Jesus.
Okay.
As a man, as a child of God, if too late we receive him as our portion, the portion of Christ in us, that we need to also appear the way he also want to appear as is his.
Praise glory. The Lord. Please celebrate our brother. At least, you know, say preaching no easy, Abi. So, first of all, when he says, when Christ, who is our life, that means Christ is our life. Christ is not a part of our life. Christ is not even just the center of our life. Christ is what? Are you with me? Our life, the main source. Are you with me? So, after me, Christ is my life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that means it is something that is going to happen in the future. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Do you realize that he's redefining your understanding of the rapture? That the appearance of Christ is your appearance. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's a place to shout glory. Because, listen, remember where it's coming from. You are seated with him in the heavens, right? You and Christ have become united in one. Remember when he said identification? You are connected with him together such that when he appears in the heavens, is also your appearance. Sometimes his appearance is my appearance. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. Some people are not sure. You're looking at me like this. Better shout glory. Let your spirit get it. Shout glory. Maybe it's you that did not shout. You'll come and preach next. Now, after saying that you will appear with him in glory because you are connected to him. See verse 5. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So he's saying, it is true, you are seated with him in the heavens. So it is true, you are one with him. It is true, you are connected with him such that when he appears, you also appear. But now that you are on the earth, what should you do as a pointer to that? You will purge yourself of fornication. Are you with me? Of inordinate affection, of evil concupiscence. Are you with me? And covetousness, which is idolatry. See verse 6. It says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Now, everybody, verse 7. In the which ye also walked some time, and ye, when ye lived in them. See verse 7. In the which ye also did what? Read this verse again. In the which ye also did what? Let's read it again. In the which ye also did what? Walked. So that means there was a walk you had when you were not saved. When you were disconnected from God, when you were a sinner, the kind of life you had. Are you with me? Are you with me? There was a kind of life you had when you were not saved. There was a kind of disposition you had when you were not born again. But now that you are born again, there's a kind of life you ought to have. Do you get this? And begins to tell you what to do. Read verse 8. It says, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So you guys are not reading. Are you angry with this verse? I know this is not a popular verse, but read it. 1, 2, 3, go. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You know, when I was, I'm still growing spiritually, but when I was growing, at a certain level, if you make me angry, I will just go, you are mad, you are stupid, idiot, bombastic element. That one is not ringing again. Who remembers bombastic element? Baby remembers. Are you with me? What can she be stupid? Your father. All those kind of things. So when I began to read the Bible, put all filthy communication from your mouth. I say, God, hi. You are a fish. You are a dodo. They ask me, what does that mean? Say, I'm insulting him now. I'm just calling him names of food. You say, you are a puff puff. All of them is still filthy communication, right? He says, but now put here all this anger. You know, some people say, it's a holy anger. There is an anger that is sin. That's what he's telling you there. There is a way you demonstrate wrath, and you're like, come on, how can you be a believer and you're acting like this? How can you be seated with Christ in the heavens and you're acting like this? Praise God. Do you get it now? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, see verse 9. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man. Everybody, verse 9, 1, 2, 3, go. Seeing that they have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So what does it mean, renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him? It means anytime you learn more about Christ, you are renewed like Christ. Let me say that again. Anytime you learn more about Christ, you are renewed to look like Christ. You know, somebody here may be asking, Pastor, why are you teaching like this? Why are you taking your time to just... Because I know that the way church is going right now, you can be in church for 100 years and you will not hear teachings like this. Yes. You can be in church for 1,000,000 years and every service you come, you receive. Breakthrough. Lambano. We call it. Are you with me? And we are talking about your sitting, but there is a walking. The portrait of the blessed man, he must sit, he must walk, he must stand. Are you with me? If you take sitting alone, who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, how you can conquer, how you can collect money in your pocket, money in your bank, 30 billion for the account, and all that. If that is the story of your Christianity, you are not a complete Christian. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus is coming soon. So we are going to give accounts. You know, one time I was praying and I was lying on the bed and I was talking to the Lord. I said, sometimes when I preach these things, people are not... Then the Lord replied to me. He said, anybody should preach what they want to preach. At my judgment seat, everybody will give account. He said, when they meet me, you will explain. He said, that one is not your problem. Don't worry. Praise the Lord. Have you seen Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See that verse, the evidence of things not seen. So, Christ has done something for us in the spirit. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He has washed us in his blood. But what Christ has done for us is in the spirit. There must be evidence on ground to point to what he has done. Are you with me? Are you with me? Even that person sleeping, are you with me? Everybody shout, I'm with you, Pastor. There must be proof that shows that we belong to a different kingdom. There must be proof that we don't walk the way the worldly people walk. Are you with me? There must be evidence that we belong to God. There must be evidence that we are seated with Christ in the heavens. You know, some of you have heard me teach here that the Christian is not trying to make heaven. Have you heard me say that before? If you study the Bible, there is that phrase, making heaven, is not in the Bible. No Christian is trying to make heaven. You were born there. The Bible says in John chapter 14 from verse 7, Jesus speaking, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you with me? That means when you get born again, you have come to God by the through Jesus Christ, right? When you come through Jesus Christ, you have come to the Father. So where is the Father? He's still in heaven, right? So if you come through Jesus, you are with the Father in the heavens. Are you with me? So it is true that we are born into heaven. We are not trying to make heaven. You are born there. But if you are born into heaven and you live in heaven, you have to live the life of heaven on earth. Do you get what I just said? Do you get what I just said? The Christian is not trying to make heaven. You are born there. But since you are born there and you live there, let that life be shown in your life on earth. Oh, yes. You know, I've heard people have said, Pastor, all these grace teachings, Christ has paid for our sins once and for all. He has washed us in his blood. Yes, it is true. He has washed us in, he washed you in his blood, but it will show in your life on earth. Oh, yes. If you are growing spiritually, I know somebody may say, Pastor, I hope you are not talking about machine perfection. I'm not talking about that. When you get born again, if it is true that you are born again, the more you grow spiritually, after a while, sin begins to reduce in your life. The work of the flesh begins to reduce in your life. The very things you ignored years ago, as you mature in your walk with the Lord, you can no longer ignore it. For instance, this thing I just talked about, anger, wrath. You know, something happened one day here, and I had to shout for one of, I really changed it for one of our leaders here. And he was like, I have never seen you like this. I said, that's how you ought to be. I'm not the kind of person you should be seeing getting angry every time. So that the day I get angry, you know it's serious. The Christian is not a person. You see a Christian. You see Christians, they leave a convention. They finish a convention as they are driving. Okay, will you get out of there? They are both touch you. Okay, will you get out from there? You say, come. Will you carry this, your cat on, and leave this place? We are driving car. You are calling that motor car. You say, oh, is it me you're talking to? You are mad. I have gone for a convention, eh? Oh, Jesus. This one, I will say it. Went for Shiloh. Final night, impartation night. I sat down. I was praying. Rakaba dagaba, lakaba, Lord, as Bishop comes, let grace rest upon me. Let fire rest upon me. I just said, pa! A woman give another woman a dirty slap. Bah! How dare you take my seat? On this final night, you cannot take my seat. Say, you slap me, say, today we go die. They began to fight. Why? Why? They're fighting. One sat on the other one. Bah. Finally, they settled them. Two of them got seats. Sat down by themselves. And I was asking myself, how did I get this invitation? How would they get it? And the fight is because of the impartation. I can imagine Jesus in heaven. He would just sit down and say, Michael, come. Let's watch. Say, God have mercy upon us. He said, Michael, watch. These are the people we are going to give grace. One even said, it's not because of Christ, though. See, you know, I've come out your teeth here. Hey! I know you are seated in Christ, but how do you walk on it? How is your walk on it? The Bible says faith is the evidence of things not seen. If it is true you are seated in Christ, there ought to be evidence on earth right now. Are you with me? There ought to be evidence. It's the substance of things hoped for. Oh, we are expecting the coming of Christ in heaven. There is no war. There is no fighting. There is no misbehavior. Your life ought to be substance showing that there is a coming life. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Romans 4 and James 2 are two epistles in the Bible that seem to contradict each other. If you read Romans chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 3, it says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what said the scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. In other words, Romans chapter 4 is trying to teach that Abraham was justified by faith alone. Are you with me? Are you with me? If you read throughout the entire chapter, you'll get the point. But Romans 4 just teaches that Abraham was justified by faith before God, not by his works. Are you with me? But if you look at James chapter 2, verse 21 to 23, you will see a complete opposite statement. It says in verse 21, James 2, verse 21, it says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture which was fulfilled, which said Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. So what is the Bible saying? Is the Bible saying that we are justified by faith, or we are justified by works? And the same example is Abraham. This is for Bible nerds. People who are interested in knowing Bible. Some people are just saying, Pastor, explain fish. I won't go at ShopRite. All this fishing. It's too much. I'm tired of the fishing. You will hear word today. So, was Abraham justified by works? Or was he justified by faith? How was Abraham justified? You can read it in your spare time. On the surface, they look like they are opposite and contrary to each other. But if you study them properly, they are saying the same thing. So what they are saying is this. Abraham was justified by his faith in God. But you see, Abraham believed God and God imputed it to him for righteousness. When that happened, you were not there. Nobody knows. Are you with me? All of that happened in his heart and happened in the spirits. Praise the Lord. But after that, God told Abraham, offer up your son. And Abraham did not disobey. He offered up his son. So, the offering up his son to God was a practical demonstration of the faith in his heart. So, he was justified by faith. He was justified by works. Are you getting me? So, if he believed God in his heart and was struggling to obey the instruction of God, we can begin to doubt what he believed in his heart. Does it make sense? Abraham's justification first began in the heart, but was demonstrated with his action. That's why James will tell you he was justified by works. And he will tell you faith without works being alone is dead. So if a man claims to have faith and there are no works that point to his faith, that faith most likely was not there. That's what it means. Faith alone without works is dead. Are you getting this? Because whatever there is faith, there must be evidence. It says faith is the evidence of things not seen. So if it is true there is faith in your heart, there will be evidence in your life. There will be things you'll be doing. You know, as I mature my work with God, this is true. This thing is very true. The same principles apply. Let me tell you, the day it dawns on you that God is your source and your supply, it will change the way you talk. That talking and that action is an evidence as a pointer to the fact that you have believed something. You have believed something. It has entered your heart. When it enters your heart, the way you act will be different. In the same way, when you understand that you belong to a different kingdom and it has entered your heart, the way you act will be different. Praise the Lord. Are you learning something? This is not an easy thing to teach. But I want to raise God solid men. Amen. Solid men. So, how do we walk in Christ? Number one, you must walk worthy of the Lord. Say after me, worthy of the Lord. Say after me, I will walk worthy of the Lord. Say it again, I will walk worthy of the Lord. I know this is not a popular term in many circles, but it's a biblical term. So, think with me. Imagine you knew a young man who lost his parents when he was 4 years old and began to fend for himself from that age. He began to struggle. Hawk akamu. Hawk pap. He began to sell gari, sell food stuff from that age. all the way till he was 12 years old to fend for himself. And you know him, somebody who sells, you have seen him sell gala, you have seen him sell small chops on the road of Lagos, you see him in Balogun market, he sleeps on that, the bridge. Are you with me? Imagine that kind of life. And one day, a billionaire in Lagos was passing by and saw him and has marked his face. Said, this boy, always struggling for himself. You know what? Come. Take him to his house and say, from today, you are now my son. I will make up my mind to train you, take care of you, and send you to school. No matter how far you want to go in your academic pursuit, I will take you. I want to ask you a question. How should that boy be responding to that man? So the next day, imagine he wakes up in the house and let's assume his name is Jesse. He says, Jesse, where are you? He says, yes, sir. Go and wash my car. And the boy says, is that what you called me here for? To wash your car. What will you say to him? Your village people are against you. It's clear. There is problem. So imagine that boy is sent to school. Let's assume he's sent to a university outside the country. And instead of him to take his book serious, he goes and starts chasing a girl. Asabaradash. So why are you not attending lecture? I said, there's one babe. Say, sir, he said, if you see this girl fine. And you know his story. You say, come. Bring your head. Let me check. It's like your brain is paining you. why are you not going for? He said, see, sir, this girl is too fine. Lecture can go. I must get this girl. You will now know that he's not walking worthy of what has been given to him. Are you following me? I'm using that example to explain when he says you should walk worthy of the Lord. You have to walk worthy of the Lord. When you have been brought into a relationship with God, there is a way you act that shows that you understand what you have gotten. You have to walk worthy of, tell your neighbor, walk worthy of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9. From verse 9 to 10. It says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So since the day they heard that they were serious believers or they were born again, it says, we do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Everybody, verse 10, 1, 2, 3, go. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. Amen. So now, look at this boy's example. Bring it to yourself. That you were picked out of darkness, eternal darkness, and translated into the kingdom of the Lord. How do you ought to act? What kind of disposition must be seen from you? If you understand, you are seated with him in the heavens. What kind of disposition? Back to that boy's story. When he sees that man in the morning, is he to say, morning, sir? How will he greet him? If he's a typical Yoruba boy, say, this man, he will prostrate. The man will be saying, stand up, don't mention no. Say, sir, you have see what you have done for me. He say, is it everything you say, sir? I will say it too. Sir, please, what can I do? Can I wash car? He said, don't worry, somebody will take care of the car. Okay, sir, please, what else can I do? There is a way he must act to show that he's worthy of that privilege that he got. Are you with me? So bring it to yourself. the eternal privilege to be saved, to be transformed, to have a walk with God. Are you walking worthy of the Lord? Ask your neighbor, are you walking worthy of the Lord? Ask another neighbor, are you walking worthy of the Lord? So we must walk like people who know the extent of Christ's grace on us. Let me show you some other text. Ephesians 4 verse 1 to 2. He says, Ephesians 4 from verse 1 to 2. Everybody read. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. Do you see that again? You walk worthy of the vocation. Let me tell you something. When I began to study the Bible, I found out that many people will live and die and they were never Christians. They were churchgoers but not Christians. Because for you to be a Christian, you have to get to the point where when you see something in the Bible, it means something to you. It means something to you. And that if the Bible says this, then it should mean a lot to me. No matter what is happening in popular culture, no matter what is happening in my generation or in my culture, once the Bible is saying something, it should mean a lot to me. Praise God. Now look at Ephesians 4 verse 17 to 19. You see another one here. He says, This I say therefore, and testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being annihilated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. Let me tell you, it is easy to read this in the Bible and you are wondering, that's not me. Let me tell you something, it can happen to anybody. You see this thing? He says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. For instance, a young man is saying, I don't like the way I'm looking at girls. When I see ladies, my body is shaking too much. I shouldn't be looking at the lady lustfully like this. And that one is bragging. You don't chop that one. Say, wallahi, I will chop that girl. Bet me. Something must happen. I bet me. He has gone beyond feeling. You know, I said something some weeks ago. Some years ago in this country, if you are watching a Nigerian movie or a Hollywood movie or Nollywood, Hollywood, whatever, and a man and a woman who are not married kiss, everybody just goes, Now, they will kiss, they will say it's a clean movie. It's just a kiss. It's a clean movie. I remember when I decided, 2014, I decided I will not watch Hollywood movies again. Because at a point, it was as though they were trying to rewire my mind. A girl will, you will see, let me assume you are a girl. You are not, in Jesus' name. You will see a guy and a girl, they will meet in the supermarket like this. How you doing? Hell, my name is Clark, your name is whatever. Your name is Clarinda. And they are talking. The next thing you see, they're in a room. The guy is on top of her. They are beginning to have sex. And you are wondering, from where to where? How do you move from 0 to 500 like that? And they will make those scenes look very, 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 very dramatic, very engaging. The way they'll be removing the clothes is as if they don't remove the clothes in 2 seconds, the whole place will just explode. You carry the woman and hit on the floor, bar, hit on the table, carry her on top and put on gas cooker. Is that how he's doing you? And guess what? Christians are watching those things and to them it's normal. Oh, gee. Love. People are mad. They are saying it's love. Problem. If you keep watching those things, one day, at a point, you stop seeing it as abnormal. It will be normal. You will see a lady as a guy and you feel like, eh, you can just go ahead now. Sometimes, a time will not come, even the lady believes that's how it's supposed to be. I remember, please sit down, my brother. I remember that time I was believing God to give me a woman. So I went online to check on how to talk to a lady and get her to like you. I did not know that if a woman does not like you, she does not like you. Forget about it. There's nothing you can do. So I went, and the first person I saw, I just told myself, no need to go further. The lady said, if you want the woman to like you, flirt with her. That's what the coach was saying. If you want to get a lady to like you, flirt with her. I say, touch her. Start touching. I'm like, hey, servant of God like me. Hey. Likabala. I command am I. I said, no. Because they have gone past feeling. To them, it is nothing. Are you with me? They have gone past feeling. In the vanity of their mind. I was talking to one Yahoo boy one day. He said, see, he will collect money from white people or he will steal their money. He said, because they took us to slave trade. They are he has found an explanation for it. I just said, reverse it. So now, you as a Yahoo boy, just imagine now you have made $10 billion or $10 million. $10 billion, if I hear. $10 million. You gathered it from your Yahoo business. Then somebody now did Yahoo on your Yahoo. And then, overnight, from you being a millionaire in dollars, you had only $1,000 left. How will you feel?
Like, I'm making sense.
So now, when you are in the shoe to be the one that is stolen from, it makes sense. So after me, I walk worthy of the Lord. So how do you walk worthy of the Lord? Number one, a holy reverence for God. A holy reverence for God. See, God should be, when they talk about God, there is a way to touch you. This one has been lost in our generation. Anybody can just stay online and drag pastors, drag church. Am I supporting pastors who are misbehaving and need to be called out? No. They are pastors that are actually native doctors. I know native doctors who are pastors today. That's why, see, when I shout, I was able to church. You know, some years ago, the Lord told me, you will have more meetings to lay hands on people. I was like, why, Lord? He said, many people have gone to wrong places, and they have collected many dark spirits without knowing. He said, when you begin to lay hands on people, many of them will be purified without knowing too. You hear what I just said? Many will be purified. Many people, they have collected this. I know native doctors, not one, not two, not three. That when we knew them, they were native doctors. Now they are pastors. They've not repented, though. They rebranded. I know. Oh God. There was one native doctor in the other state. He was popular for giving charms. He moved to Port Harcourt. I'm from the other state, so I knew him very well. He moved to Port Harcourt and kept on giving charms, but it was not raining like that. So he now changed the name of the church. He started wearing suits. Later, he went, the same thing. It's just that now you just find Jesus. Jesus. He says, it's time for power. Ask him to open Bible and preach. Explain Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. He cannot. People will go there and receive all kinds of things. And in the next 5 years, you just hear somebody in the person's family has died. Strange deaths you cannot explain. Strange manipulations you cannot explain. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I know there are pastors like that too that need to be exposed. But you see, there is a holy reverence you must have for God. There is a holy, tell your neighbor, a holy reverence for God. You are in a place here. People are talking down on church, talking down on Jesus, talking down on... See, you cannot be a believer and keep on putting your mouth there. How is your spirit doing you? A holy reverence for God. 1 Peter 2 verse 7. It says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Unto you who believe, Jesus Christ is precious. Say to me, Jesus is precious to me. Say it again, Jesus is precious to me. I remember getting born again. There was a song we used to sing. You are the love of my life. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver nor gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything. Do we still have Christians that sing like that? Do we still have Christians that will look at Nebuchadnezzar and said, our God will deliver us, but if he does not deliver us, we will not bow. We will not bow. Jesus is precious to me. Can you say to me, Jesus is precious to me? Our God will save us, but if he does not save us, I pin. Oh, I will stick with God and God only. I will stick with God. I will stick with God and God only. Say it again, I will stick with God and God only. Amen. As a pastor, do you know how many temptations? See, do you know how many people I've told you that story here before. I was in a car. I think I was traveling to preach somewhere. And NDLEA, Nigerian Drug Law Enforcement Agency, they were looking for somebody that has drugs inside the car. They just looked at me and said, he's the one. I said, me. They said, come out here. You are the one with drugs. I said, hey, God. What is the problem? They said, can you see the punk is skipping? See the hair is skipping. You look like a person that carry drugs. They said, bring out your box. What do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. They said, pastor, okay. The man now jokingly said, you are a pastor, Abi, preach for me. I said, eh? You asked me to preach for you. You are a finished man. When I was done preaching, he said, I believe. I said, no, today, you hear what? I got out of the policeman. I said, the driver was like, okay, let's go. I said, they was hear what, though? When I was done with the preaching, the man called me aside. This was in Bayelsa. Called me aside and said, see, from this preaching, you are a straight pastor. I said, let me not lie. It's been long I heard preaching like this. I said, but the way you are going, it will take time before you blow. Say, go take time. Kai! Go take time before you blow. See, people, you preach like this now. You know, even sabi talk one thing. People just carry money, give you. Go take time before you blow. Say, see, take my number. I will take you somewhere. If you look at somebody like this, they'll give you all this money. Say, if you just tell them something, they will be acting like mumu. They'll be giving you anything you say they should give you. That's him like this. I said, you met the wrong person. How can I take tools from the devil to serve God? How can I take tools from Satan to serve, to be more effective in the work of God? I have told myself, wherever God cannot take me, let me never go. Whatever God cannot give me, let me not have. Are you with me? If he says I will not be famous, it's fine. It's fine. But you see, the message we have is too powerful for it to stay in one place. Are you with me? You know, after Wednesday's service, I got a call from the United Kingdom. She's not even in London, in Lincoln. I said, Pastor David, I went to make my hair in a shop in my friend's house. And I was catching up on Wednesday's service. Listen, you know, I was catching up on Wednesday service, and when the owner of the house came out from her room, I thought maybe she was angry with the fact that I was playing the sermon in her house. So I put off the sermon. The woman came and said, I want to hear the sermon, please. That the sermon was touching her from the room. She came out to listen to the sermon. After listening to the sermon, they broke out in speaking in tongues. The lady said, okay, let me play another one for you. She played Lambano. After watching Lambano, they prayed in tongues and fell. Say, please, your pastor, wherever he is, give me his number. Please. He said, it's not in the United Kingdom, it's in Nigeria. I said, don't worry. Give me YouTube. Give me website. They started downloading sermons. I've seen, and that's not the first too. I've seen many. You know, there was a time I saw an alert. Ah, who is this person sending me money? I tried to trace the money. I couldn't get the person. The person sent a package of gifts, sent shoes for my wife, sent shoes. I said, who is this? It was some months later I found out that it was two sisters who have been flowing the church from United Ireland, right? Ireland is Dublin, right? From Dublin. They said, Pastor, if you know what this teaching that you are doing has done to us here, you see, that thing that we did, please don't be angry. It's very, very tiny. Please don't be offended. But it. So I will now leave that one and go and be collecting powder from one human being that does not need salvation. Are you getting me? Say after me, God is precious to me. 1 Peter 3 verse 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Let God be special to you. Let him be precious to you. Amen. Holy reverence towards God. Amen. Number two, holy living. Say your neighbor, holy living, oh. Holy. Then our person, holiness, oh. Jesus. I was talking to our pastors. I say, I don't want to hear any sexual scandal. Anyhow the country wants to do you. Anyhow the country wants to do you. Find iron and hug the iron like this. I say, kaba kaba. I will not fall. It's better you do like this. I will not fall. Ah, shaka pataka. The Bible says, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Eh? Truly, country is a bastard. Just carry a pillow. Akapata, ekapaya, letatata. It's better you do that than to say, may not be too bad. You're playing with fire. Holy living. This generation is too sexualized for my liking. It's too sexualized. There is a pro. See, men are endangered species. Oh. Men are, see, we are endangered species. You need to know as a man that there is a problem. I was scrolling online this morning, praying in tongues. I said, let me just check one scripture with different versions. They were advertising a fridge, an electronic portal. They showed a woman with towel and breast standing like this. And she was looking at the laptop. Like, how does that one consign fridge and electronic portal? How is that an advert? How? Because they know once a man sees towel and sees cleavage and say, my God, let's check. By the time he clicks the link, he will see, welcome to our electronic portal. Holy living. Holy living. 1 John 3, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Say after me, I'm blessed. Say it again, I'm blessed. 1 John 3, verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hey, that's not the verse to read without shouting glory now. John 3 verse 1. 1, 2, 3, go. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Glory! Okay, the feminists are not shouting. That we should be called children of God. Glory! Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, he says, every man that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. Are you seeing this? Every man that had this
first step to take away our sins. I'm not hearing your voice again. Ikapa Sabalama. Read that verse again. 1, 2, 3, go. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Amen. Okwaya. Is that correct? Or is it Unugo? What am I saying? But I know I wanted to say the Igbo. Have you? Inugo. Verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil said from the beginning, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So in the context of this discussion, what is the work of the devil? Sin. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
Glory.
Shout glory.
Glory.
When you see a verse like this, the first response is not fear. It's not saying, I'm finished. I didn't sin every day, no man. He's not saying he that is born of God does not. God, please. Something you should not miss there is, he that committed sin hath not seen him, neither known him. That means if I can see him and I can keep knowing him, I will not live in sin.
Yes, sir.
The work of sin in your life, see greater glory. Have you ever heard of that statement called the beauty of his holiness? Holiness is so beautiful, that by the time your eyes are open to the beauty of holiness, you will leave sin alone.
Yes, sir.
Asataka Baladesh. I remember one time, years ago, I was struggling with an addiction. Struggling. And you know the funny thing? I can relate. There's nothing anybody wants to tell me I cannot relate with. This was years ago. And I was born again already. I was speaking in tongues. But I was struggling with that thing. You know what God did for me to deliver me? I was praying to God, Lord, help me. How do I overcome this thing? Please help me. Do you know what God did? So I was invited to preach somewhere. Shortly after I prayed, God help me. I'm like, God, I'm saying I will need help. You're telling people to invite me. They said, God touched us to invite you to come and preach. I said, God, now see me. I'm struggling. They're telling me I should go and preach. So I prayed. I said, God, please help me. As I'm going, please touch your people. Do you know what happened? I went to preach. Before I could finish preaching 15 minutes, there was the power of God scattered everywhere. So the whole place was on fire. By the time I went back to my closet, I could not reconcile. You that just did this. I said, how do I want to now go back? I felt like the holiness I saw in that meeting was too strong that I could not merge it again with committing that sin. That was how it ended. Do you know what I just said?
Yes, sir.
I saw a different kind of me, a kind of power released through me that was like, this thing is too holy for what I want to engage in. This hand that I carved out devils and set them free cannot be misbehaving. Are you with me? And that was the end. That was how I left. I saw that the things of God are so holy and so beautiful that you will be cheating yourself to leave that to play with the devil. Holy living. Amen?
Amen.
Say after me. Now declare. Even if you are struggling, declare and shout with a loud voice. I walk worthy of the Lord.
I walk worthy of the Lord.
Some of you are not talking. Say, I walk worthy of the Lord.
I walk worthy of the Lord.
Unto all pleasing.
The
Lord is precious to me.
The Lord is precious to me.
I walk in holiness.
I walk in holiness.
It is my lifestyle. I am blazing with holiness.
I'm blazing with
I am pleasing with the nature of God. Pleasing with the spirit of God. Pleasing with the glory of God. Glory! Amen. And finally, how do you walk worthy of the Lord? Passionate zeal. I want to ask you a question. Imagine, for the married people, the ones in relationships and the ones about to enter, you can relate with it.
Just imagine. You like a girl, and the girl claims to like you. And then you call her, just to check on her. Say, how are you doing? Jane, I'm fine. Are you okay? I'm okay. How was today? It was okay. Have you eaten? I've not eaten. I'm okay. The next thing you say, is there any problem? No problem. I'm okay. You're not talking, but am I not talking? Say, can I call you back later? Please call me back later. Then she cuts the call. Then you call 2 hours later. Shina says, why are you calling me now? I'm in the middle of something. Please, can we speak again? He said, please, did I offend you? He said, please, I'm busy. You call her 3 hours later, I am busy. You call her another 3 hours later, I am very, very busy. At a point, what will you do? Then you now ask her, but I thought we were dating. Say, I actually like you, but I was busy. Then you discover that every day you call her, she's always busy and acting like that. At the point, you have to advise yourself, oh brother, you are dating yourself. Oh brother, she does not like you, sir. Because if she likes you, she'll be passionate about you. Are you with me? It's that simple. If she likes you, babe, how far now? How are you doing? You don't even know what happened today. In the office, they came to share small chops. She will start telling you irrelevant stories. They say when the girl likes you, she will act like a child. When she does not like you, she will act like a HRO, your HRO manager. When she calls, you say, why are you calling me? I just wanted to talk with you. Can't I call you again? That's it. There is passionate zeal because she likes you. You are something to her. If every time you have to ask, what are we? You are not anything.
Pencils in the hand of God. Are you with me?
In the same way, where is your passionate zeal that you belong to God? Where is your passionate zeal that God means something to you? Remember, we are talking about worthy of the Lord, right? Let me read something to you. Matthew 22, verse 1 to 8. You see this Bible? Read it, though. Matthew 22, verse 1 to 8. The Bible says, and Jesus answered and spake unto them by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. Listen, that means there were people already invited to be part of that wedding. That's a picture of those who are saved, right? That were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatness are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Everybody read verse 5. With a loud voice, verse 5. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, and that to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers. He did not destroy everybody. He destroyed only those that killed the servants, right? And burned their city. Verse 8. Everybody read verse 8. 1, 2, 3, go. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not. Remember, we are walking worthy of the Lord, right? So that means whenever you make light of things that have to do with your expression to God, you are acting not worthy of your calling in Christ. Yes. They say worship God.
I want to the Lamb upon the throne. We raise our sound. But when people finish, make we sit and work. We raise our sound.
Somebody just kneels down and say, oh, Jesus, I love you.
For he. Then you're like, you too do. You too do. Yeah. Expression no pass like this. So. You too do. Then in the service, somebody, you're false. Say, hey, they have started. Me, I'm not a bad person, no, but I don't carry church on my head. All these things. All these things. I don't really carry church on my head. Shout glory. This church, you not to shout.
The people that were bidding were not worthy. You know what you're telling God? You are not worthy of his calling.
Yes.
Passionate zeal. You see people doing evangelism on the road with shit. Maybe young people. Maybe they're not even your church.
Is that what we change Nigeria? Is that what we... Did Jesus tell you that his plan is to change Nigeria? Is that the work? Is that why Christ died?
Somebody say, Pastor, today you came. Is that... Read the Bible. Did you see Nigeria in the Bible? Is that the plan of God?
Let me explain how serious this is to you. You think God did not know that Israel was under Roman rule when Jesus Christ came? That's why they were asking him. He says, are you not going to restore again the kingdom to us? You have come, you have died. You have preached all this preaching you have done. You have ascended. Now you are about to ascend. When is you are you going to restore the kingdom? My father says, see, leave that one. There are some things that are not in your power. Go and preach the gospel. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. The priority of Jesus Christ then and the priority of Jesus Christ now is the salvation of men. As long as men are not saved and they are in power, there will be things that will be wrong. No, are you with me? You better have faith to be above the system. That's all. Because from next year, your tax has increased. You better have faith. You better learn what we are teaching so that God can will make you above all nations of the earth. No matter what is happening, it's not. Are you with me? You know that you're an ambassador from heaven. You operate the heavenly kingdom in the earthly realm. No passion for the Lord. You are simply telling God you are not worthy of his calling. That's why there are some people that, see, let me give you a secret. Do you want to have more spiritual encounters in your life? Take the small ones he has done serious. Yes, take the small ones he has done serious. You are worshiping. The Holy Ghost is moving. You can feel like it's as if a power wants to carry me. I will not fall. I don't fall in church, but I fall for man. Nothing God will touch you. Every small time, the service, you are taking too much time. Let's close and go home. Let's close and go home. But you watch a 2-hour, 3-hour movie. Say, this movie is short, though. You watch series. God knows I don't like series. How can I 45 minutes every day? 45 minutes, 45 minutes. Next on mailing. Next. Next time on Just Us Girls. Next time on. And you're like, wow, this is what happened. Did you see? Are you serious? You're excited, and the Holy Ghost is looking at you like this. When people are talking about the word of God, say, did you see something in the Bible? Kai Makataya. That word in the Bible. See, as Pastor was teaching, the word was just entering me. Say, you save your back every time, word. Where is your passionate zeal? Ask your neighbor, where is your passionate zeal? They say, rejoice, dance. But once you hear, when the bed to the entire body, you say, hey! Da, 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 da. Say, ha! Have you seen that David Rose album? Timeless. It has come out. May God mercy upon you. Where is your passionate zeal? Let Let me tell you why many unbelievers struggle to get saved, because they look more excited than believers. Believers are acting like they're in a prison. No, you are the one that has been set free. You are the one that has been set free. Jump on your feet. So after me, I walk worthy of the Lord. Unto all pleasing. I have a holy reverence towards God. I walk in holiness. And I have a passionate zeal for God. Prove it to me by shouting your glory. Yeah.